It was Halloween, and today is All Saints Day. And this morning, what I thought I'd do is try to combine them both and share with you what I call the pumpkin patch gospel. And I'm going to get a little messy up here, and so to better protect myself from that, I'm going to remove my jacket and roll up my sleeves. So give me a second here. So this pumpkin was grown in a patch, probably about 10 acres in size, with thousands and thousands of other pumpkins. And when you look over a pumpkin patch field that large, all the pumpkins kind of are there, and you can tell, well, that's a pumpkin, and that's a pumpkin, and that's a pumpkin. But if you look a little closer, every pumpkin is different. There's no two pumpkins that are exactly the same. They're all a little different shape. Some may be large, some may be small. They're a little different color. Some have some green, some have some white, orange, red in the pumpkins. Some have different rib patterns. Some have different growths on the shell of the pumpkin. They're all unique, made just special and wonderful as pumpkins can be. And it's kind of like human beings. When you kind of look at the 6 or 7 billion people that are on the earth, you can tell that's a human being, that's a human being. But then if you look a little closer, everybody's different. Nobody's the same. It's different shapes, different sizes, different colors. We're all unique, wonderfully and miraculously made, but all unique. So how do you find one for you? How do you find one for your family? So when you go to pick out a pumpkin, you want to try to find one that just kind of suits you, just kind of feels right. And it's kind of like picking out a puppy or a Christmas tree or maybe a new pair of shoes. You need something that's just going to fit right for you. And so this pumpkin, wonderfully made special and picked it out, and it was just the right size, just what I needed for today. And I just love it. It's just wonderful. To make it my own, though, it wasn't just something I could cart off with. I couldn't go to the patch, pull it out of the mud, and put it in my car and take off. I had to do something to make it my own. I had to make a monetary sacrifice and pay the cost for what the pumpkin was going for. And so I purchased this pumpkin and made it my own. The Bible says something about that about us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, says, "You are not your own. You were purchased at a price." And of course, that price was what Jesus paid on the cross for us. So I made the sacrifice, purchased it, brought it home. It's now my own. And I love it very much. One other piece, though, before it comes into the house, obviously, this one still has some of that pumpkin patch mud on it. Did you see that? And so we have a rule around our house. You know, dirt stays on the outside. So we need to take whatever's dirty, and we just kind of need to wash it off. And so we're just going to take this water, and we're going to do our best to wash it off all of the mud all around the pumpkin. And so it's nice and clean, and the rule that we have around the house about dirt, now can the pumpkin come in the house now? Yes, okay, good. It's kind of a little like what happens when we first come into the house of the Lord. We use water to symbolize the cleansing that we have from the Lord, and that cleansing is called baptism, and that cleansing symbolizes what God does for us in justifying us and washing us clean. And so there's a passage in John chapter 13 verse 8, where Jesus says, unless I wash you, you have no part of me. And so it's important to receive that washing. When he was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he said, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, in order to let that washing from the Lord that takes place outside and inside, unless that happens, you won't be entering the kingdom of God. So we clean off the mud from the pumpkin patch. Now there are other pumpkins in the pumpkin patch that just get stuck in the mud. And they never get taken home. And it's sad. They just kind of rot there. They just kind of sink into the mud, just kind of go away. And it's sad that they never find a home. But this one do, and millions of pumpkins do. This one does, and millions have found homes. And experienced, there's still some mud there, and experienced some wonderful care from the people who bought them. So now the pumpkin is a pumpkin and nice and clean on the outside, but there's more to the pumpkin than what's on the outside. There's stuff on the inside of the pumpkin. And the only way to get to the inside of the pumpkin is to cut open the top. And so here we go. I've got a nice sharp knife, and I've got I've got some muscles that will try to get this pumpkin cut and opened. And it's important to be able to get to the inside. You know, you clean the outside, and it's nice and wonderful, but there is some value to having the inside all nice and clean as well. And we're going to try to do that this morning with this. But in order to get in there, we've got to cut it open. And you know, there's a wonderful verse in the Bible that talks about that too when it comes to a human being. It's called the Word of God that cuts into us. It's in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And it says that the Word of God is active and alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it cuts right down to the soul and the spirit, to the joints and the marrow, right to the heart of who we are, and it judges our thoughts and the attitudes that are in our heart. And so that's the truth that just gets to us and just allows us to understand that there are some things that we're thinking that are right in line, and there's some things maybe that we're thinking that aren't in line with God and His Word. And so now we take this wonderful top off of the pumpkin, and we can see what's inside, and we can tell that it needs some cleaning, that's for sure. We can tell that it needs some cleaning. So we put that right there, and oh my goodness, it's a mess in there. That's got to come out. It can't stay that way. We've cleaned the outside, but the inside needs to be cleaned as well. And so you hear what we're talking about. Well, when Jesus died on the cross, He purchased us, forgave our sins, those outside misbehaviors, those things that we do that are what we call sins, and those have been forgiven. But then there's junk on the inside, and we call that sin. And not sins, but sin. And that sin is that messed up part of our human nature, that inherited spiritual part that we got from Adam and Eve, that rebellious, self-centered, I want to do things my way, I want to be my own God and in charge of my own life, that sin inside of us is kind of like what's in here. I don't know if you can see that, but it's a stinky, yucky, grimy, smelly mess in there, and it's got to come out. Because I have something in mind for this pumpkin. I have something in mind. And so we need to clean it out. And so here comes the great part where you just kind of get in there and you just start digging and you just start pulling. And it's pulpy and it's tangled and it's yucky and it's bad seed and it's fleshy And it's a lot like what's inside of us as humans spiritually. We have this bad seed of our carnal nature. We have this tangled mess of human fallenness that is sin. And what Jesus does for us, besides forgiving our sins, is he works to clean us and cleanse us. And now I could spend a long time up here pulling out all of this tangled mess. And that's what happens too with us as human beings. It takes a while. Our justification happens, and it's symbolized in the baptism that we celebrate as a sacrament, making things right between us and the Lord. But then there comes our what we call sanctification, the process of being clean, of being Christ-like. And that is something that takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. God's will, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, God's will is for us to be sanctified, to be pure. And a little later in that same epistle, 1 Thessalonians, Paul talks about how he's going to be praying for their complete, entire sanctification. And so that takes a lifetime of being with the Lord and being before the Lord and looking up and falling down and taking off our sandals, those kinds of things that are part of our preparation and our spiritual formation. I've got a nice little tool here that helps scrape out the inside, so we're going to use that. But it doesn't happen overnight. It takes a while, and it takes us continuing to be humble before God, being obedient before him, learning more of what he's calling us to do, understanding more of his will for our life. It takes a while for us to work on that, cooperate with God's Spirit, being filled with God's Spirit, for that sanctification to continue. It's a process. And so I think we have this pretty good. Get this out of here. Yeah. Now, if you noticed, when I took that knife and I cut into the top of the pumpkin, the pumpkin just kind of cooperated. He didn't have much choice. I was there, and I'm cutting open the top. And now, you have to remember, the pumpkin is a fruit, okay? Pumpkin isn't it, it's a thing. It doesn't have a choice in this matter. That's different from us as human beings. See, when the Word of God comes to us and it wants to do its work of cutting down to our soul and our spirit and helping to expose the attitudes and the thoughts of our hearts, and it wants to the truth to kind of get in there and work on shaping our thinking and who we are, we have a choice whether to allow that to happen or not. As human beings, we need to give permission to God, to his presence, to his word, to be part of our life and start cleaning us out. There's a passage that we read from 1 John chapter 1. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from our unrighteousness. But that verse started with that little word, if we confess our sins. So we have a choice in the matter. It's another passage similar in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. But it starts with if. We have a choice in the matter. It's a wonderful verse in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And he says, if anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I will be with that person and that person with me. But did you hear what he said at the beginning? If anyone hears my voice, if anyone will pay attention to my word, if anyone will be listening for me, if anybody will hear me knocking on the door, if anyone will come and open the door, I'm going to come in. But you hear that if. Human beings have to give God permission to enter into their life, for sins to be forgiven, for the sanctification process to begin and to continue. And so that's where we in this pumpkin differ. We have free will, and God will never, He will never abuse that. He will never override our free will. He will always respect that. He created human beings with free will. And the reason is because that free will is absolutely essential for love. Without free will, love has no power, has no energy. It lacks any life-changing ability. But because I have the freedom to choose to love you or to love others or to love God, that makes all the difference in the world. That's how God set it up. And he will never override that. And that means you and I, we have to give him permission, give his word permission, give the truth permission to enter into our lives. Okay, well, that's pretty clean. I'd say we've got a nice clean pumpkin inside and out, ready to be transported and find its way into my home and my heart. Does it look any different? No, not really. Wait, yeah, it doesn't look any different, does it? If I put this back in the field, how could you even tell it was any different? I mean, it's special, and I love this pumpkin, but maybe we can do something to make it look a little different. Now that it's clean inside and out, it needs to kind of show that it's different, right? So maybe in our little pumpkin here, we need to give this pumpkin some expression of its new life. And so that's what we're going to try to do here. We're going to see if we can make a difference on the outside of this pumpkin that shows that something has happened on the inside. And there's a wonderful verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that talks about this very thing. It talks about how if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old pumpkin is gone and the new has come. So let's try to do our best to see if we can make this pumpkin express that newness in its life. And we're going to cut out some of these things right here. Give it a couple eyes. And eyes are important to be able to see. And so as a new creation, what we hope we see is with eyes of compassion. See with the Father's eyes, as he sees. He sees people in need. He sees people who need help. He sees people who are hungry. He sees people who need hope. He sees people who are hurting. He sees people who are homeless. We need this pumpkin as a new creation to see those kinds of things because that's how the Father would want us to see people, to see them in need and to see beyond ourselves into the lives of other people. We'll also give it a nose. And nose, what would we use a nose for? A new nose we'd use to sniff out things like injustice. A new nose we'd sniff out things like oppression, things that aren't right, things that aren't fair in this world. Let's sniff those out and find out where they are and see if we can do something about them. And then, of course, we need this wonderful smile on this wonderful pumpkin, this new creation, and see if we can get him going here. We got it. Right there we go. All right. Oh, look at that. All right. So now, he's got a new expression, and that expression with that eyes to see the hurt and the need for love in our world, the nose to sniff out injustice, oppression, whatever forms they present themselves, as we say in our Methodist membership vows, and a mouth to smile, share the joy that this new creation is experiencing, a mouth to witness to and tell people of the good news of how God has made a difference in our lives, So we have this new face, and I think that's starting to look like something different. It's not an old pumpkin anymore. It looks like somebody. He needs a name, doesn't he? To really kind of personalize it and make him something new, instead of just calling him a pumpkin, let's give him a name. How about Jack? We'll call him Jack. And I think that's pretty good right there, Jack. He's amazing. But wait, Jack kind of looks empty though, doesn't he? I mean, we got a lot of the junk from the inside. We got it out, but he's lacking something. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, which is a wonderful chapter, by the way, about the cleansing that Jesus has secured for us of our sins and our sin. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14 says, by the one sacrifice, in other words, by the cross of Christ, Jesus has perfected forever those who are being made holy, those who are being sanctified. So how important is the cross in this process? Oh, so important. Further down that same chapter, verse 22, it says, so, therefore, let us draw near to God because of what Christ has done for us. We have the avenue to draw near to God. Let us draw near to God with hearts full of assurance, confident in our faith, cleansed, purified, sprinkled by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus Christ who cleanses us from all sins. And so this incredible sacrifice of Jesus on the cross has made this new creation possible. And yet it's not quite done yet, because we want Jack to be full of something. I don't know what. I guess we could fill him with some water. I've got some water here, but I'm afraid if we poured a lot of water in there, that would just kind of come out. We could put leftover candy from yesterday. We could put all that in there and fill Jack up with candy. Or, you know, the Bible says in that passage that we read from 1 John chapter 1 that God is light, and that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with one another. In other words, we have a connection because we're filled with the same stuff. The God who is light, the God who is spirit, we are filled with God, with his spirit, his light. So we have a connection with each other. And Jesus purifies us from all sin. It's all in the same verse. And what that means is he gets rid of the darkness. And so when we're filled with the light, the darkness in our life goes away. And then with the expression that we have in our life, leading sanctified, holy, obedient, faithful lives, it shines. It shines out. And so that's what we need to put inside Jack. And so I have this, and we're going to take the light of Christ from the altar table, and we're going to light Jack's heart. So now we're going to take the light of Christ that's made a difference in Jack, and we're going to put it inside of him. Now, there's something new inside. It's the light that's inside. It's no longer dark. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, I believe it is, the Bible says that once you were darkness, now you are light. Live as children of the light. Ephesians verse, or chapter 5, verse 8. Live as children of the light. And so that's what Jack's going to do. He's going to live as Jack O'Candle. That's what we should call him. Well, candle's not very fancy. Lantern would be better. We'll call him Jack-o'-lantern. How about that for a new name? Someone who's been transformed on the outside, inside, and the light of Christ shining through him. One more thing. We're not done until we finish with this thought. That Jack's life has been lit up by what we've done today. Our lives have been lit up by the grace of God. But who lights up a jack-o'-lantern and hides it under a bushel? We are the light of the world, and we're not supposed to be hiding away from the world. We're supposed to light up and be set out on the porch in the darkness so that the neighbors can see the light in our life. Jesus says that very same thing. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine that people will see your good deeds, the light shining through you, and give praise, give glory to the Father who's in heaven. In other words, when they see what we're doing and they understand it's the transformation that's happened because of the light of Christ that's within us, that we've been saved by the grace of God, that the cross of Christ has cleansed us inside and out, that we're walking daily in step with his Spirit, that they will realize that God is real, that something's different about my life because God has done something for me. And people who notice that, pay attention to that, maybe even ask us about that, will come to give God the praise and the glory. That's the pumpkin patch gospel. Get it? Good. Let's pray together. Loving and holy Lord, we thank you for your amazing grace that has made a difference in our life. You forgive our sins. You wash us clean. You set us on a path to eternity. And we pray, Lord, that as we continue to remain faithful and obedient, as we continue to grow in Christ's likeness and in our holiness, as we continue to cooperate with your Holy Spirit to be shaped into being children of the light, that people will take notice. They'll not only be affected by the deeds that we do in compassion and love, they'll not only be affected by the prayers that we offer because we care, not only be affected by the things that we do to bring justice into this world, but they'll be touched by that same grace, and light will shine into their lives and make a difference. We thank you for the transformation. It's amazing to be plucked out of the mud and to be taken home by you. You have a place for us, and you have a purpose for us. And we pray as your saints today, we pray that we can continue to live as children of the light and honor you in all we do and all we say. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.